Joe Rogan is an American podcaster. He's a comedian and he's a UFC color commentator. And he's best known for his popular podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, which is one of the most popular podcasts in the world. Today, Joe Rogan, Search for God on This Slice of Fresh Bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 124. Today, we're going to look at Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is a very popular podcaster. In fact, the Joe Rogan Experience is one of the most streamed podcasts. He recently did a podcast where he was talking about God and how he enjoys going to church. And he's searching for God. But he's never talked about God. He's never talked about a faith in God. And so he's now looking for that. He's looking for on a quest. And so today, Pastor Brandon is going to look at an interview and kind of unpack it for us. And as we listen to this interview, so I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Brandon. Take it away.
Rogan has embarked on a very public and personal quest, a search to understand Christianity. He isn't approaching it as a theologian or as a preacher, but as someone deeply curious, wrestling with questions about God, the Lord Jesus, and what it really means to believe. His exploration is raw, honest, and often skeptical, reflecting the doubts and struggles many of us face in our own faith. Rogan's journey offers a unique window into the spiritual hunger of our culture, and in examining it, we can see both the challenges and the profound questions that drive people toward or away from the faith. So what I want to do in this episode is play some clips from Joe Rogan himself in his own words. And I'll comment as we go. I'll stop and make comment and give feedback about what he is saying. So with that, let's begin to listen to Joe Rogan in his own words.
There, but I have started going to church every now and again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
I love it.
Yeah. I do too. It's a bunch of people that are going to try to make their lives better. They're trying to be a better person. And they're trying to, I mean, for me at least, the place that I go to, they read and analyze passages in the Bible. I'm really interested in what these people were trying to say.
So in that brief clip, there's a lot to unpack. He obviously has some wrong ideas about Christianity and why we would go to church. He says that we go to church in order to be better people, in order to be better, a better person. And ultimately, yes, we want to be better people. We want the Lord to sanctify us and make us more like our Lord Jesus Christ. However, our main motivation for going to church is that we would have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could hear his word being preached and hear the gospel and be encouraged and be spurred on in our faith. This idea of going to church to be a better person lends itself or leads to, potentially thinking that the church is something for people who have kind of cleaned up their lives, kind of cleaned up their acts, and they're now good or at least better, and they're moving in the right direction. But that's not church at all. Church is for those who have, really Christianity is for those who have come to a realization of who they are before a holy God. They've come to a realization that they are sinful and that they need a Savior. And so, as we listen to this, as we listen to Joe Rogan, I want you to understand that while he seems to be on a path that is moving toward possibly salvation, we need to be careful and really evaluate what he's saying and watch this closely. We don't want to too quickly put a stamp of approval on him. Now, I will say one other thing about this clip that I can appreciate, and I think is very encouraging. He speaks of the explanation of Scripture, and he speaks of it not necessarily from a point of knowledge in terms of understanding the terms that we would use, like exegesis and exposition and those kind of words, but that's what he's describing as the church that he's going to. And I have no idea what church Joe Rogan currently goes to, although I do know that he had Wes Huff on his podcast a few months ago, and it seems like that was part of this journey that he's on. But it seems like that Wes Huff had some real influence on him, and that Joe, I do know that Wes Huff in that podcast shared the gospel with Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan seemed to be receptive to it. And so who knows? Joe Rogan may actually be a believer at this point, but he is very raw. I don't know, the state of the man's heart, but I am thankful that he's on this journey. I'm thankful that he is moving in this direction, and I'm hopeful for him. I'm hopeful that as he learns, that the Lord would use it in his heart so that he comes to know the truth of God's word and the truth of who God is, and he turns to him as his Lord and Savior. I pray that the other side of that coin potentially is knowing all these things and being exposed to all these things and ultimately rejecting it. And I hope that he's not on that's not where his journey turns to. I hope that he actually comes to know the Lord Jesus. So let's keep going in this clip. And I just want you to keep listening to him, and let's let him again speak in his own words.
There's a lot of like atheists and secular people that just like to dismiss Christianity as being foolish. You know, it's just fairy tale.
Again, there's a lot to unpack here. It's interesting when you consider Paul's words that, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those are words that we are very, very familiar with. And truthfully, what Joe Rogan is finding out is that the cross is foolishness. And, those who preach the cross, they're going to be ridiculed. And for a guy that is in a position that, he thrives off of popularity. I mean, he's a guy that has a podcast and he wants to be a popular guy. But it is amazing that he's associating himself with Christianity at this point, at least at the level of exploring it. That's interesting to me because ultimately what he's going to find is that he'll be persecuted for it as he continues. Now, right now, I'm sure that people are celebrating that he's a guy that is willing to ask questions and make and explore things. But if he begins to truly believe, then we know that the persecution is going to come, and perhaps it already has. Because as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, so that's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so, just stopping right there, again, the message of the cross is foolishness, especially to a lost and dying world. And so, it even though it is foolishness, it is the power of God to save. And so I pray that as Joe Rogan, as he considers what's happening in his life, I pray that he will come to see the wisdom of God, and that he would come to know God and come to know and understand who he is. Let's keep going in this short clip, and I'll continue to make comment.
Fast, intelligent people. Like, it's a fairy tale. I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I think I think there's more to it. I think it's history, but I think it's a confusing history. It's a confusing history because it was a long time ago. And it's people telling things in an oral tradition and writing things down in a language that you don't understand. And
so here he's addressing what people would say, or what people who were skeptics say about Scripture, that Scripture is fairy tales, that we can't trust Scripture. And he's saying, and I can certainly appreciate it, he's saying that there's got to be more to it. Now, does that mean saving faith? No, not necessarily. It does mean that potentially the Lord is working in his heart and that he is coming to see. And it's interesting here. It actually kind of reminds me of Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus was a dark man. He was a tax collector and he was very rich. And we know because of the history of being a tax collector that he walked in the darkness, and yet the Lord changed his life. The Lord changed him, and so I can see the Lord potentially working in Joe Rogan's heart, and the prayer would be that he would turn to him, that he would turn to the Lord Jesus in saving faith. Again, I keep saying that over and over because that is the hope. That is the hope of mankind. That is our only hope, is that we can be saved by the Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, who went to the cross to pay for our sins. And so it's just interesting to me. It's interesting to me to see and hear Joe Rogan as he speaks, as he reflects on Christianity, as he reflects on what he believes. And so let's keep going, and I'll continue to make comment again.
Context of a culture that you don't understand, and I think there's something to what they're saying. I don't think it's nothing.
No.
No.
I think there's something to it, and there's a reason why it resonates with people. And Christianity in particular is the most fascinating to me because...
Just to make comment on that, yes, it is challenging to understand Scripture. It is challenging to understand church history, be knowledgeable about church history. It takes, you know, a lot of reading and research and an understanding that grows over time. And so, you know, he's speaking of, you know, this confusion that can come. I mean, he's speaking of really hermeneutics in one sense, because he's understanding that it's a different culture written in a different time frame, that Scripture was written to a specific audience, and that we have to learn how to interpret that properly. And it takes time and it takes training and it takes someone discipling you. And, you know, I'm not sure who's discipling Joe Rogan, if he is even being discipled, but it's just interesting that he is asking a lot of the right questions. Now, not perfectly. He has definitely, we'll see, and as this clip rolls along a little bit, but we'll see that he's still wrestling. He's still wrestling with other religions. And I'm encouraged, we'll see in a moment, I'm encouraged that he sees Christianity as being authentic, that he sees Christianity as rising above all the other world religions. And there's a reason for that. We know that that's true, because we know that the Lord Jesus, because we know that that religion is true, right? We know that Christianity is true. And so we understand where he's coming from. Let's just continue, and I'll continue to comment.
I don't think it's nothing.
No.
No.
I think there's something to it, and there's a reason why it resonates with people. And Christianity in particular is the most fascinating to me because there's this one person that everybody agrees existed that somehow or another had the best plan for how human beings should interact with each other and behave.
So there he's talking about, again, Christianity rising above other world religions. And what I'm encouraged to hear, it's because he sees that he sees the uniqueness of the person of Christ. And that makes sense to us. I mean, that makes sense biblically. I mean, we know that the Lord Jesus came here as man. But he came as a man as God who became man, and he exists as fully man, fully God, and so he is a unique person. He is unique in what he did and what he said. We see that in Matthew. We've been studying Matthew in our church, and we see that the Lord Jesus was one who taught with authority, not as their religious leaders. And he wasn't like them. He was unlike them. And I think that's the purpose of Matthew recording, and really the gospel writers recording the miracles, is because Jesus is not like man. He is not. He's not like other humans. He is something different in that sense, even though he is 100% man. And we see that. But we see it. I mean, it's interesting, with, like, as an example, the calming of the sea there in Matthew chapter 8. That's an interesting account, because in Matthew records, and Mark also, and Luke, that Jesus was asleep during the storm. And the storm was raging on this lake, on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples thought that they were perishing, and yet the Lord Jesus was asleep on the cushion, according to Mark. And so we see his humanity there. We see his humanity in the midst of the storm. But when the disciples wake him up, he immediately said, you men of little faith. And then he spoke to the wind and the waves, and they became still. Instantly, he commanded them. He commanded, showing his sovereignty over creation, over the natural world. And so there we see in that account, we see the humanity of Christ, and we see the deity of Christ at work together. And it's those things that, I mean, it's interesting that after the storm was calmed, the men had been mega afraid of the storm, of the wind and the waves. The boat itself was being swamped, and these were fishermen, and they were very, very, very afraid. When Jesus calmed the sea, they looked at him and said, "What sort of man is this?" And it says that they were greatly afraid. They were mega, mega afraid of the one who was in the boat. And they said, "What sort of man is this? He's different. Here's a man who was just a few moments ago, he was asleep on the cushion. He was tired from doing ministry and was asleep on the cushion in the midst of the storm. And when we woke him up, what happened? He calmed the storm." The contrast is incredible here. The contrast between that. And so when Joe Rogan says that Christianity is different because of the person of Christ, that's what he's talking about. There's something different about him. And what's interesting is that, I mean, like 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of the resurrection. And we see in that account, and we see in the resurrection account, that Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. Jesus is the difference between when it comes to other religions of the world versus Christianity. Christianity has the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. And he is the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins. And so, yes, I certainly see Joe Rogan's point here. And I pray that, again, that this is an indication of his potential salvation. Let's keep going in the clip.
Best example of it, and even died in a nonviolent way. Like, didn't even protest, died on the cross, supposedly for our sins. Like, it's a fascinating story. What does it represent, though? That's the real thing. What was that? Like, what happened? Who was Jesus Christ if it was a human being?
So again, we'll stop there and just say, again, he's speaking of, you know, Jesus' incarnation and the fact that he went to the cross to die for our sins. And it's interesting that you see, he said, you noticed the little word, you may have noticed the little word, supposedly. Again, there's some lingering doubt with him. And, you know, I don't know if that lingering doubt is, you know, that's ultimately going to envelop him, or if that the Lord would continue to work in his heart and he would bow the knee to Christ, that he would bow his heart to worship him. And I pray that he would do that. I pray that he will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we consider this, I'm thankful to hear Joe Rogan. I'm thankful to hear that he is where he's at and that he's walking out this journey. He's walking this path in a very public way, and he's not shrinking back. He's speaking what's in his heart. He's not trying to be pleasing to anyone. He's trying to understand the truth. And I'm hopeful that, you know, Joe Rogan will be used by God to influence many, and that this is an indication that there are many men and women who are seeking after the Lord. They're seeking after the truth. And it's no secret that, you know, this is a podcast that is mostly men listen to. It's a very masculine podcast, and he has a wide variety of guests on. And so there's no doubt that mostly men listen to it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he has such an amazing influence that can be used in that way. And I just pray that the Lord would use it that way. I pray that to him that he would just turn Joe Rogan's heart to himself, and that the gospel would just be proclaimed from the Joe Rogan experience will become the Joe Rogan gospel show. I pray that. And I pray that many, many would come to know the Lord through that ministry if that were to happen. But even if it doesn't, the Lord is using this. The Lord is using this. And I'm persuaded that many have turned to him through these discussions, that when men like Wes Huff have been on Joe Rogan's show, that the Lord is using this platform that Joe Rogan has, that he's using it to get the gospel out to millions and millions of people, especially men, who have been, they've been more affected, more negatively affected by the culture. It's interesting because we need men who are stepping up, and we need men who love the Lord Jesus and want to be leaders. They want to be men in their homes. And so I'm just prayerful. I'm absolutely prayerful. We're living in unprecedented times. It's amazing all that's going on. I've lived for almost 55 years, and the last three or four have been off the chain. They've been incredible. And the gospel has been preached and continues to be preached. Are there problems? Absolutely, there are problems. And there are negative things. The internet has had such a negative impact on people and on the culture. Pornography is prevalent. It's beyond prevalent, and it is spreading. And when we look at women and the negative effect of the culture, the rise of feminism, the rise of the OnlyFans phenomena, and what's happening what's happening in the church, and with false teachers going out, and you know all the controversy that's going on with Christian nationalism and the questions that are around that, and so we are living in I can't even give justice to the unprecedented times that we're living in. And it doesn't seem to be abating. It seems to be accelerating. And that makes sense. I mean, the Lord Jesus said in the last days there will be birth pains. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think we're seeing these birth pains that are going on. But I also think that the gospel is going out in the midst of this, and that many are becoming saved. Many are turning to the Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful for it. I don't know yet at this point. I think we'll know looking back. But I don't know yet if this is a revival. Is it a revival? I don't know. I do know that as the church, that we need to be faithful in preaching the gospel and speaking to cultural problems and having a voice for the Lord. And so even though the internet is there's negatives out there, we can use it, and just even in this form, even in even in a podcast to bring the truth of God's word to a starving generation. And that's what we do here at Fresh Bread. I just want to conclude with this. Joe Rogan's journey reminds us that the search for truth isn't always neat or straightforward. It's often messy, filled with questions, doubts, and moments of curiosity that push us to think more deeply about God and his word. Whether we agree with Joe Rogan's conclusions or not, his quest highlights a reality every Christian faith faces. Faith is not just inherited or assumed. It is explored, wrestled with, and lived out in the real world. In reflecting on Rogan's questions, we're invited to examine our own understanding of God and to face our doubts honestly and to seek a faith that is both thoughtful and transformative.
You've been listening to Fresh Bread, podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.